TSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're so glad you've joined us. Boy, lots of stuff going on in the world right now, and so we want to be sure you've got a good biblical perspective of all these events. Because if you don't, oh man, you could let your heart be troubled. But you know, the Bible, Jesus told us, don't let your heart be troubled. Because you know, when we have a relationship with God, we know He's going to work it all out. So I just want to encourage you today, put your faith in the things above, not things here on this earth, because these things here are passing away soon. But you know, the things that you do for God, you'll carry an eternal reward. And so just encourage you to do that. We set this time aside every weekday afternoon, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events through a biblical viewpoint. And also what we hear in church isn't even in the Bible at all. You got a question? Hey, please call us 888-ASK-CSN. We have some lines open. You can be part of the program today. Joining me today, we have special guests with us, Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Church in Kiau, Hawaii. Aloha.
Hey, Pastor Mike. Great to be on the show with you today. And even just to echo your opening statement, we are living in trying times and difficult times. But it's so good to know that long before a problem ever arises, that our good and faithful God already has an answer for it. And us believers can take heart in that. And so even today, as we answer questions about what we see happening in our world, or even Bible questions you may have, it's always a pleasure and privilege to be on the show with you, Pastor Mike.
Always look forward to being with you too, Joe. It's always a fun time with you. And again, yeah, if you've got a question for us, we're here to answer that for you again. Again, that phone number to call, 8888-ASK-CSN. And we're going to go to Alex on the phone in Greenville, South Carolina. Hi, welcome. Hi, Alex, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I muted my phone. I apologize.
It's all right. Alex, how may we help?
I'd called in a few years ago, and you gave me a fantastic answer about this, and it's something I've been continuing to struggle with, and I've prayed about over the last few years. And without going into too much detail, in a marriage for 22 years and just got to a place where very hard-hearted with my spouse, and just a lot of bitterness and resentment for a lot of factors kind of took hold, and just got to a place of complacency and allowed myself to make a bad choice and got into an extramarital affair. So that's I've been single for a few years now, and that's behind me. But I struggle a lot with the idea of remarriage. And it seems like the more I dig and research about this, there's a lot of pastors that kind of teach on the fact that if you're the one that committed adultery, there's no biblical grounds for remarriage. Only the spouse that was the innocent party has grounds for remarriage. So I guess what I'm trying to understand is, because in my situation, I committed adultery and committed that sin and broke the covenant marriage, does that forbid me from ever remarrying unless I go back to my former spouse?
Well, I think we need to look at a couple of things. What you're quoting there is out of the Gospels concerning Jesus speaking about marriage and divorce. Now, when Jesus was talking about marriage, he was talking about a Levitical marriage. Now, today we know Bill can marry Steve, and well, if Steve catches Bill with Al, then he has grounds for a divorce. No, they were never married in God's eyes in the first place. And so it is with many of the other things. You know, in the Old Testament, in a Levitical marriage, if the father objected to the woman getting married, she wasn't guilty of a divorce. If they didn't make it, she was guilty of disobeying her parents. So I think we have to understand several things. Number two is, polygamy was allowed in the Bible. Which of the Old Testament patriarchs didn't have more than one wife? We always talk about David being, oh, that wonderful man after God's own heart. Few people realize he had seven wives and at least 10 concubines, not to mention Solomon and all the others. We always talk about the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, what, you know, the patriarchal foundation of Israel. from four wives that Jacob had. We don't talk about that much in the church. We kind of want to sweep that under the carpet. Now, I agree. In the beginning, when we find Adam and Eve in the garden, yes, I agree. That is God's ideal. However, we don't always live in an ideal world. It takes two to make a marriage, one to make a divorce. Now, just because somebody files for a divorce doesn't necessarily mean that they were guilty of the divorce. Because what was the behavior of the partner that led that person to making that decision? So I really believe that we have to look at all the factors about it. Number two, I do not believe that divorce is the unpardonable sin, based upon what I find in the entirety of the Bible. Now, again, understanding what Jesus said, that's the ideal. But again, we don't live in an ideal world. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I would just say it's not always wrong to remarry, and it's not always right either. It just depends on, and you kind of brought some of these issues up, but why the divorce happened, whether there's been repentance and healing in your life is a huge thing. And then even what Scripture says about this specific situation, seeking God's guidance and wise counsel is totally important. And we have to understand that God is holy. He's a holy God, but at the same time, he's also a merciful God. And so if you're divorced and wondering about remarriage, you do want to seek the Lord, dig into his word, talk to mature counselors as you're doing. And God's grace does bring healing in our life and even the ability to move forward. And so it is a question, can I stay single and honor God in my singleness, or is this something that's burning in me that the Lord might provide the right person? And so I know that God is full of judgment, but at the same time, he's full of mercy. And I think depending on the situation and even where you were at spiritually during that time kind of has a lot to do with it, with the forgiveness you've received and even maybe spiritual maturity that you've grown in since that time. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, Alex. And so if it's a desire to get married, I think that's an honorable thing. I think that feeling obligated to get married is not. In fact, actually, the Bible warns about going back to a previous spouse. So I would have to, once again, look in and, you know, I think this is why there's a lot of good churches, if you find one that counsels you for the entirety of God's word. Because again, there's just these issues of David being a man after God's own heart, yet him having at least seven wives and 10 concubines, and yet God didn't hold that against him. Now, again, there was trouble within David's home because all these different women having sons all wanted to be the heir apparent. They wanted to take over their father's throne. And so, of course, you see the problems with all of them. But I really believe that divorce is not the unpardonable sin because, again, we're dealing with people. Unfortunately, people do change. People can take one another for granted. And I think these are all problems. Now, you know, seeking marriage counseling, I think, is a good thing, but that generally is while the couple is still married. But going back to what the Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John chapter 1. So I want to live in that promise of God, because again, the Bible says in the Old Testament, six things the Lord hates and seven are an abomination to him. Curiously enough, divorce is not even mentioned there. Yeah. It's those that spread gossip and a haughty look and these kinds of things. So I think we need to be careful. I think oftentimes we can be harder on ourselves than God is. And we don't know, as an example, what happened most likely to Paul's wife, because he said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, schooled by Gamaliel. To be a Pharisee, you had to be married when you were 30 years old. What happened to his wife? We don't know. And was he even married? We don't know. Doesn't talk about that. And so it goes with the rest. We don't know a lot of things. But I would not beat myself up over something where I believe it's under the blood of Christ. And again, there are always going to be those who try to point out the failures of your life. Usually, I used to always think, well, that's just the way the world is. But I find that sin sniffers in the church are as prevalent today as they were in Jesus's time, called Pharisees. You know, in Fox's Book of Martyrs, you read how the disciples died and how the early church fathers died. But you never read in the Fox's Book of Martyrs how the Pharisees died. You know why? Because they didn't. They're still here. And so, again, finding fault with the brethren. And again, for this reason, Christ died. And if this is the case, if divorce is the unforgivable sin, as an example, then we are in a lot of trouble preaching the gospel to people because we don't know that that person that I'm talking to about accepting the Lord might get a divorce in a month. Then I'm ruining his life. Oh, well, see, if you get a divorce before you're saved, then it's forgiven. But if you get a divorce after you're saved, you're not. Oh, so you're telling me a child of the devil has more rights before the throne of God than a child of God? I don't know what theology that comes from, but it's certainly never found in the scripture. So I hope that helps.
If I can, just one quick follow-up.
Sure.
And I appreciate it. So one of the things that I keep kind of running across is pastors that kind of believe that, yes, adultery can be forgiven. Again, I've been single for years, carry a lot of guilt. But I'm not seeing anyone. You know, I desire to have a relationship again. I'd like to kind of move forward with my life. You know, being alone is difficult and challenging. I miss the family dynamic. But at the same time, I haven't met anyone. And I'm not really trying to, because I've kind of just removed myself from the situation because I don't know that I feel like I can. I don't feel led to go back to my previous spouse, but I also don't feel like I have necessarily a leading. So I'm kind of in a place of limbo right now, just waiting for God to kind of, you know, lead me one way or the other. But the thing I keep is I read and research this and, you know, watch different YouTube videos from different pastors is I see a lot of them that basically say, yes, God will forgive adultery. And God will forgive a divorce, and but ultimately the one thing I keep seeing a lot of is that if you remarry, you're in a perpetual state of sin, because in that new marriage you're continually committing adultery by being married to someone that you're not lawfully, you don't have a lawful right to be married to. So in my case, because I committed adultery and I broke the marriage, obviously my wife chose to file and end the marriage rather than work it out. But I made the bigger mistake, obviously. But, you know, so she filed, the divorce happened, and ultimately it's like what I see is that because I caused the ultimate failure of the marriage, that I don't have the opportunity to remarry. And if I did, that I would be in a perpetual state of sin by being in that marriage.
No, I believe this is what the forgiveness of Christ is about. And again, if this is true biblical doctrine that you can't get remarried, then we better stop preaching the gospel. You better stop until they're on their deathbed, where they're not going to do any more mistakes in their life, and then minister the gospel to them, let it accept Christ, and then they can pass into eternity. Because this side of heaven, we're going to mess up and mess up a lot. Look at King David with Bathsheba. Now there's that's not just adultery. You add David, he's a murderer as well. He had her husband murdered.
Right.
And yet God forgave him. And it was from Bathsheba that Solomon was born, who became the next king of Israel. Talk about God's forgiveness. Listen, if you want to go you ought to go study and read about that issue with David and Bathsheba. Am I citing that as a pinup picture of what we need to be? No, but it is a pinup picture of God's forgiveness and mercy. And it sounds to me, Alex, like you're running on empty when you understand the mercy of God that's being extended to you through the promises and things that are under the blood of Christ. And something else you need to understand is God's grace to you. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And when I look at David, and that God didn't say, okay, David, you're washed up. You know, you're not only an adulterer, you're a murderer as well. And you're done with the throne. And we'll see in the funny papers. It was just the opposite. It was Solomon from Bathsheba, that adulterous relationship that he had, begat the next king of Israel. So I have to understand then that God's mercy and grace is a lot greater than what a lot of humans pass on to other people in the name of God. Maybe these ministers, maybe these people are saying these things. Maybe they had a really happy marriage and they got a good one right off the line. But let me tell you something. People do change. And there's a lot of things and ingredients in a marriage. See, 100 years ago, the role of a man and a woman was relatively defined. But today it's not that way. We have women from broken homes, men from broken homes. Well, I didn't even really even see the need for a father in the home. My dad was never there. My mom made all the decisions. So when I marry you, I'm going to still make all the decisions. I'm glad you're around. Go mow the lawn. See, we have a really goofed up mentality of what a biblical nuclear family is. Because everybody's fragmented. Well, yeah, my mom's going on family vacation with her boyfriend of the last couple of weeks. You know, I mean, this is where our poor kids are at today. Yeah, divorce is really hard on children. And I believe this is one of the reasons God hates it. But when it comes to relationships and things like this, yeah, you did a bad thing. But all those things are bad. Again, go back in the Old Testament. Look at King David. And if this brutal beating that you feel is of God and from everybody else, then they better start it on King David, because the Bible says during the millennial reign of Christ, that 1,000-year reign, Jesus will rule with King David. Oh, yeah, the same one. Wow. Talk about forgiveness. Alex, I would just say in Jesus' name, you need to be free and understand the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Joe, any last words?
Yeah, I just think of the verse that says there is no condemnation for those Amen. Who are in Christ Jesus. And, you know, it's almost like taking God's grace for granted by saying that this is something he can't forgive and, you know, all your chances are gone. No, that's what grace is. It is a second chance, even though we make mistakes and mess up. And we like to judge certain sins, but grace exists for all sin, even the sin of adultery. Jesus says in the New Testament, if you even look with lust on a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. So that right there would eliminate a lot of married men. But see, again, this is what grace is for. And when we do things in our past and we repent and Jesus washes us and cleanses us of them, we're allowed to move forward. I think in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, he's writing to a church of new believers that had these Jewish teachers coming in trying to enforce the law. And he's talking about freedom and liberty that we have in Christ, that we're no longer under the law, but now we walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so the thing is, Alex, as you walk in that forgiveness and the grace of God, there is no condemnation for what you've done in your past. And I believe that God gives you that mercy and grace so you can move forward. Pastor Mike?
Amen. And I believe it's the same that, you know, the Bible says to comfort one another with the comfort that you've received. And where have I received comfort in my life from? We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says in Hebrews chapter 12. I look at King David. There's a good illustration of one of those cloud of witnesses of God's great forgiveness. Alex, I just live in God's grace, okay?
I appreciate it, pastors, and certainly with everything that's going on, you know, looking for the Lord's return.
Amen. Being about daddy's business, so important. By the way, everybody, I was watching the Iranian parliament today, and do you know what they were saying? Oh, we love America so much. We just can't wait to be a peace-loving nation. No, you know what their parliament was saying? Death to America and death to Israel. Yeah, the same people that said they would do the peace treaty. Now, here's the great problem, everybody. Every time the Six-Day War, this war right now that we're looking at, if this 12-day war was to go to 20 days, Iran would have been a hole in the ground. The reason they waved the peace flag is because they lost the war. But they didn't say that. They just declared a ceasefire. So therefore, the regimes all still stay in place, just like they did in the Six-Day War in 1967, just like they're staying in place now. If anybody thinks that this thing between Iran and Israel is over, you are dreaming. And I believe this is very much probably the setup for Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, because it says that Israel will be attacked. And I believe that, again, all Iran is doing right now will be regrouping. And basically, this is what several of the senators have said. They said, we'd love to believe that this is sincere, but I really truly believe it's only regrouping for a larger attack later. In other words, get Russia, get Turkey, get Ethiopia, Libya, the Balkan states are on your side, Persia, Iraq, and Afghanistan on your side as well. Now let's go down and wipe them out. That's your Ezekiel 38 war. And why America doesn't come to Israel's rescue, I don't know. Maybe the rapture's taken place and we're not here. Maybe, there's been a regime change in the United States. Do you know, when the Democrat Communist Party, and that's what they are now, everyone, last night in New York City, they elected a Democrat Communist for their party's candidate for the mayor of New York City. Now, they say he's a socialist, but the only difference between a socialist and a communist is the way it's spelt. They're the same thing. And when you listen to the promises this guy is making, free, 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 vote for me, everything is free, he sounds like a communist dictator in Guatemala. Promise the world, deliver nothing. And we'll see what this, he wants to completely abolish the police. Now, New York is already one of the biggest crime-ridden cities in the world. And then to get rid of the police and replace it, what he says, with social workers, oh, yeah, like that's going to work. And government-owned and sponsored grocery stores, which will then run the other ones out of business. Hey, this is the recipe for total chaos. And, of course, who's going to pay for it? Well, we're going to raise the taxes on all the rich people and all the businesses. So the business people have said, we're going to leave. So who's going to pay for this utopian communist dream? Nobody. It'll all collapse like communism does everywhere else that it goes. The only thing that keeps communism going is from stealing from others until there's no one else left to steal from. Yeah. Remember that. Alex, stay in line. We'll send you out some books and DVDs, and we're going to go to Jack, Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I'm just calling to see if I can get some help. I have a child, early 20s, and I believe that she's kind of being messed with by some demonic presences. She's trying to turn her life around, trying to get closer to the Lord, and it just seems like this thing, whatever it is, it's a demon. Just seems like it won't leave her alone. And so I just, I've been trying to give her some Bible verses to read and to walk through the house and read aloud, and just not sure exactly how to help her with that.
Okay, couple of things. Number one, is she a born-again Christian?
Yes.
Okay. Number two, has she been involved in the occult, Ouija boards, drugs, anything like that?
I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Because somewhere along the line, she may have either knowledgeably or somehow invoked priestcraft into her life. Of course, dabbling with tarot cards, fortune telling. I believe getting involved in drugs a lot of times will do this. It breaks down the natural defense that we have against the underworld. And then the demons begin to start claiming territory, if you will. Now, I do not believe a Christian can be demon-possessed, but it does appear that she is under oppression. Is she currently part of a church?
not that I'm aware of. And she lives in Texas currently. I don't believe she's attending any churches.
Well, she needs to be, because greater is he that's in us, plural,
yes,
than he that's in the world. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I believe there's strength in numbers. And certainly I would, and we can pray for her today, certainly here, but I would just really invite her to go to a real Bible-believing church. We can probably give you some good possible recommendations for her to go. What town is she in?
She's in the Midland, Odessa area.
Yeah, yeah, I know of a couple of churches there. Yeah, if you want to stay in line afterwards, we'll try to fix you up with some possible good fellowships where she could go. But she really needs, again, anything in her home that is occultic needs to go. I believe that, you know, I mean, oh, it's just a cute little statue of Buddha over in the corner. Well, there's no such thing as cute statues of any fake god. So I tell people very clearly, we're not to make graven images. And that I know that there is spiritual warfare that goes on. Anything like that in our life that would be following in that. Well, you know, I don't throw out my bong because, you know, I might just decide to go on a backslide and decide to go get loaded. Smash it. I really believe that. You know, Joe, you've been through a lot in your life. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I would agree with Pastor Mike. Her getting plugged into a church is key. And even when we come back after the break that we're going to take here, we can talk further about it and even lift her up in prayer.
Yes.
So important to do that. Yeah.
Jack, we will do that. Stay in line as well. And we got these announcements. And when we come back, we'll have a whole lot more to Every Man an Answer right after this.
Did you know that every day Preborn's network of clinics experiences hundreds of miracles? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds.
So when I came to my first visit and I had my sonogram and seeing the heartbeat, it really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
Because of you who donated to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn is able to offer women the blessing of life. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine whom we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and the healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just...
It is refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people, people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money, too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome you back to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. We have with us Joe Jackson from Sure Foundation Church in Kiau, Hawaii, just south of Hilo, about 12 miles or so. Take Highway 130, you'll find it between Kaholi Drive and Paradise, and you can check that out. I think you'll really enjoy it. What's going on at Sure Foundation this week, Joe?
So we have our 8 o'clock service and our 10 o'clock service. We're currently in a message series titled All In. We're challenged by Jesus to love the Lord God with all of our heart, mind, and strength. And so we've been focusing on that verse and just giving practical steps to apply it to our lives. And so we'll continue on that study this Sunday.
I still think my joke was good, Joe. Where David fought Goliath and he sunk the stone, the Bible says, sunk into his skull.
Right.
That stone was all in. I just...
Yeah, it was all in. Then he had rock in his mind, right?
Yeah. He rocked out. If you're in the Southern Idaho area, I'd like to invite you to church this Sunday. And as we do End Times Prophecy Update, and then we're going to start a series called Heroes. And I think that's so important because we all need those in our life. We'll talk more about that this Sunday. Starts at 10 o'clock in person, 10:30 on the radio, on all the CSN radio stations and around the world on the World Wide Web. We want to invite you to tune in. Back to the phones we go. We had Jack on the line about demonic presences in a family member. Now, real quick, Jack, I got a question for you. Is your daughter currently involved in a relationship?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the status of that?
Well, she has a boyfriend that she lives with. They're not married. They're going to be married, but currently they're living together.
Well, I believe, you know, the Bible says make no room for the devil. And I believe that when we do things like this, we are excluding God from his best for our life. And where is this guy's relationship with God?
Not 100% sure.
Well, then I think maybe this may be part of possibly the problem. You know, God sometimes puts his hand back on us a little bit, so that we'll repent and run as Joe, you would say, we would run all into the hands of God.
Right.
And I believe that a lot of times if we're in a ungodly relationship, I believe we leave room for the devil in our home. And I believe this can cause all kinds of problems. I would probably say, Jack, that because of this, there's all kinds of reasons why we're not supposed to shack up before we're married. There's all kinds of reasons. And I really believe that we need to be aware of leaving that door open to the devil in that regards. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think of the verse that talks about not being unequally yoked. And of course, a yoke was used on two oxen to pull a plow. But the idea is if one is heading to one direction in the relationship and the other's heading the other way, that's being unequally yoked. And so Jack, with your daughter, I mean, I don't know her boyfriend and what her relationship is with the Lord. But if she is serious about overcoming this demonic presence that she's experiencing, then this would be a key step, is either separating until they are married, if that's possible. But even asking the question, if this guy is not living for Jesus, this isn't a relationship I want to live in if I'm now starting to search after the Lord. And Jack, even as you were sharing that she began seeking the Lord and has become a Christian, the enemy's mad about that, and he wants to do everything he can to stop it. And I agree with Pastor Mike. I believe that if we're saved and we've placed faith in Jesus, that we can't be demon-possessed, but I do think we can be oppressed by the enemy, and it sounds like that's what's happening in her life. And so for her to be set free from this, there's steps of getting rid of sin in your life, because that leaves a foothold for the enemy. And then even plugging in with other believers and surrounding yourself with other men and women that are full of faith just helps us overcome what the enemy wants to do in our life. One of the strategies that the enemy likes to use is he likes to use fear in our life so that we operate from a place of fear instead of a place of faith and trust in Jesus. And so, you know, those are just things she would have to look at. Is this guy I'm with seeking Jesus like I am? And if not, you know, the Bible's clear on this. This is something that is unequally yoked, and the Bible says I shouldn't be involved in it. But what is her name, Jack?
Her first name is Morgan.
Well, Morgan. Real quick, you know, Jack, I just want to tell you this, too. This guy, unknowing what his background is, may be also dragging in these spirits. So there's a lot of vast unknowns here that can cause all kinds of problems. And when you see this kind of these kind of problems in the infancy of a relationship, it's only going to get worse. You know, I heard a saying one time, and I think it's some of the best advice I ever heard. It said, there's not one issue in a divorce that wasn't evident in the courtship. In other words, I talked to this girl one time, and she said, I'm divorcing my husband. I said, why? And she goes, he's a raging alcoholic. And I said, well, that's terrible to hear that. Did he drink when you married him? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, well, then why did you marry him? And she said, well, I didn't think it would be a problem. That's what we all say. You know, well, he's into porn, or he's into this or into that. Well, you know, was he doing the peekaboos with the girly magazines? Yeah, but I didn't think it would be a problem. People are on their best behavior usually in a courtship. And what's it going to be like afterwards? And when you start seeing demonic things going on, apart from even a shacked up relationship, this guy might be bringing in some bad juju. So I would just really advise her. She needs to get into a church fast, and she needs to really let God really to direct her life, because it sounds like she's being set up for a bad hurting down the road. Jack, can we pray for her?
Please.
Father, we just ask you for wisdom for Jack, to speak wisdom into his daughter's life. Lord, we pray for conviction to come upon this daughter, that she would understand that the life, the road she's on is the wrong one. And Lord, until she gets clear of all this, she won't know the direction or hear your voice to know what to do. So Lord, we ask you that you would, through this crisis in her life, bring her closer to you. And Lord, that you would help her, convict her of her sins, and deliver her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Jack, our prayers are with you. I'll send you out some books and DVDs, and I'll send you a little book called Time to Grow. Maybe you can send it to her. It may touch her heart, okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
Jack, if you need us, we're here for you, and very, very concerned for this, because it is real. And I didn't ask one other question. Are there any children involved?
No, sir.
Thank God. So, no, she needs to get into church right away. Stay in line. We'll try to give you some directives there, some opportunities to go to some different churches that may be a blessing to her. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Catherine, Post Falls, Idaho, up north. I welcome.
Hi. Thank you. I hope I can word this right. My mom's mom was half Native American, Nez Perce. And she's also the one that, you know, Christianity came through. And I'm not saying everyone in the generations did, you know, become Christian and surrender to the Lord. But I'm saying she is one of the grandparents that I can look to and admire, because she stood strong in the faith and she brought it with her wherever she went. And, but, so I'm saying I'm not trying to be critical of Native Americans. It's in my own blood. But when I see Christians and even a pastor's wife that I was good friends with, and yesterday we were on a camping trip, and one of my cousins brought this artwork out and wanted to show us what somebody gave him, because she was unloading some artwork to donate, and he remarked how incredible it was, and she just gave it to him. Well, it's Native American art, and there's, you know, a Native American in the picture, and, you know, there's a lot of time and hours and beautiful skill demonstrated, you know, and the skill is from God. But in the pictures, there's a Native American, and then there's, you know, the wolf behind it, and then another picture, and there's another animal. And the way that the Native Americans did their dances, and they asked these little G gods and for rain and for different things. And then there's stories that they tell about how this was created and how this and that came about. And they use animals, you know, in their stories, mm-hmm. and they pass it down.
Yes.
And so when you talk about like the occult and not having things in your house that, you know, would bring in demons and that, I think every time I see that kind of thing, and when my friend invited me to a powwow and we went, and I'm just like, she said, aren't you coming out here to dance? I'm like, no, I don't know what they're dancing to, what they think they're calling in. It is sad. It's so sad and tragic how the Native Americans were wiped out by white people. It
sure.
seems, but God is in control. And he did have his people take out the people that were there in the land of Canaan, and because they worshiped, you know, little G gods, and he didn't want that in the land. And so maybe sometimes I think maybe that was God's will, that with all their false beliefs and the worshiping of the false gods and their false stories of how creation and everything came about, maybe that was God's plan, because he's in control. And
well, Catherine, we find this broadboard across the world, not just in the American Native Indians. We see it in England, Stonehenge. We see it in Hawaii with the a lot of the Hawaiian beliefs, Pele, the mm-hmm. volcanic goddess, it was Hawaii's queen that became born right. again and really, yeah. really helped deliver the Hawaiian people from their superstitions and stuff. And, you know, Joe, I know that you yeah. there as a pastor and even working with other Christian churches, right. even going on outings with them. And then as everybody's sitting around the campfire, they bring up, you know, Sister Ocean or Brother Ocean or whatever it is. And you're going, what? Why don't right. you tell us a little bit about, you know, your take on how to minister to people in cross-cultural understandings of pagan deities?
Sure. So in Hawaii, there is, as Pastor Mike mentioned, a lot of false gods that the Hawaiians used to worship. And now it's become part of the Hawaiian culture, much like the Native American culture. There's dances, which is hula. There's chanting, where they're actually chanting to these gods. But as Pastor Mike said, we had a queen here in Hawaii that totally brought a change to that.
Lukulani.
In fact, there was a system called the Kapu system, which is the way that the tribes used to run things, relying on these false gods. And she totally changed that to relying on Jesus Christ. Now in churches, we see women and men doing hula, but they're doing it as an act of worship unto the Lord. And so it's actually beautiful. They're still using the culture. A big part of Hawaiian culture too is also costume making and making leis. But now they're doing it as an act of worship unto the Lord. And so I think that's key. You know, there's beauty in Hawaiian culture, in Native American culture. And there's a tendency for us to want to throw all that out, but not all of it is evil. I think about the Apostle Paul. He's writing to some that were buying meat in the New Testament that were offered to idols. And he's pointing out to them, listen, there's nothing wrong with this meat, even though it was offered to idols. But if it causes a brother or sister to stumble, then don't eat the meat in front of that person. And so I think, you know, having an appreciation for some Native American cultures and maybe even different beaded things or moccasins or things they made, as long as there's not a religious practice tied specifically to that, I think it's okay. There does need to be a sense where you're careful with certain things, but you can appreciate the culture without appreciating the worship to these false gods. And I think that's the balance there, is, you know, redeeming the culture and then even just drawing the line if it's an instrument used for ceremonial practices.
So I hope that answers it for you. In other words, not nuking their, you know, the Hawaiian culture or American Native Indian culture, but to correct where they have gone on. Because I believe that in many regards, they're very spiritual people, but they're getting their spiritual unctions and inspirations from the wrong sources. Now, you go down in certain areas in Arizona and, you know, getting into the peyote buttons and all that kind of stuff, the when they do all this stuff, you know, being strung out. I believe that when we get involved in altering our natural ability to fight off evil spirits, and we know they're out there, I believe this is when a person gets demon possessed. And certainly we find Jesus delivering people from demon possession. Paul, it's all the way through the New Testament. So we realize that it's real. And so we want to be careful to not say, oh, well, you know, just throw a little Jesus in with all the other demonic stuff and you're going to be just fine. No, there are certain things that have to be corrected. And I believe when Paul says, I become all things to all men that I may win some, he never lost the innocency or the truth of the gospel to minister to the group of people he was trying to reach. However, I believe that he would cross-culturally do what was necessary. And we remember when he went back to Jerusalem and he shaved his head in that ceremonial thing that he did. He did that because he wanted to reach his Jewish brethren. Today, the idea that our sins can be forgiven by offering up a bull or a goat, completely wrong. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Christ Jesus. And the blood of bulls and goats could only cover the sin. It would never remove it. But Jesus's blood did that. But Jesus was ministering to not only Jewish people that were hanging onto the law of self-generated righteousness, which the Bible says we can't do that. We put on his righteousness. We borrow our righteousness from him. But he was also dealing with a Grecian culture as well. And we remember when he went to Mars Hill. He says, I see you're all very religious people. You have all these statues to all your gods. You even have this one here to the unknown God. This is the one I want to proclaim to you. He didn't come on that hill and say, you bunch of stupid pagans, what's wrong with you? With some sandwich sign and a megaphone, like a lot of times we see a lot of people do. But he went there to reason with them. And yeah, there were some converts. Maybe not like we find in other places, because I think religion always tries to take that place of that emptiness within man's heart and soul to know God. So religion scratches the itch. But religion is not what you need. You need a relationship with the God who made you. And that's not religion. That is a personal relationship with God. And so I believe, Catherine, really in doing that, I think that it requires a little knowledge of what they believe, and then say, well, you know, I mean, everybody, you know, I can even say this about me in my own personal life. I was raised in church, but I knew and I found out as I studied the Bible on my own, some of the things my denominations taught me was wrong. Like the Holy Spirit ceased with the apostles. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit did not start with the apostles. It didn't end in the last chapter of the book of Acts. God did miracles all the way through the Old Testament, and God is still in the miracle working business today. My church was wrong. That doesn't mean I hate him. It doesn't mean that I don't ever want to talk to him. But it does mean that there's something that we need to correct when we come across bad doctrine in our lives. And so if you believe in the wolf God, that's something that, well, I'm really glad you believe in God, but do you know God is so much bigger than a wolf? Do you know God is so much more dynamic and so much more integrated into your life than any cavernous wolf, you know, carnivorous wolf would ever be? And begin to minister the gospel that way. Because I think a lot of times the idea of going in and saying, you bunch of stupid pagans, what's wrong with you? No, you don't do that. Now, sometimes it does bear maybe a sharp rebuke. But generally speaking, people want to know God. And unfortunately, a lot of people have been sold a false bill of goods because the gospel is simple. Repent, call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. You transfer your residency from this earth to an eternity with God, and your sins are forgiven. Man, that's great news. I didn't have to sell flowers in airports. I didn't have to wear blue or eat organically grown foods. All I had to do was just say, yeah, Lord, I'll accept that invitation. And I think, Catherine, when we minister to cross-cultural ideas, I think we need to be very sensitive. And that's why I think sometimes it's good to know if you're in an area, as an example, Joe, you and Hawaii, with a lot of the pagan ideas. I mean, Hawaii used to have human sacrifice. I went up to the north part of the Big Island where they actually have the stone where they used to kill people. So there's a lot of weird stuff out there. And so whether you're trying to minister to the people in Central America, whether you're trying to minister to American Indians or Hawaiians, hey, listen, Christianity is not an American religion, friends. It's from the Middle East. Yeah. And we have to understand that. But when you understand that God is love and God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would have eternal life, that's great news. And it's not by me dancing around on hot coals. It's not by me doing something. It's simply by me just receiving what Jesus has done for me. And that's why it's called the gospel. The word gospel means the good news. Catherine, I hope that helps.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for all that input. So this cousin was not one on the native side. He was on my dad's side, but he has moved in our area. His wife died several years ago, and he's moved in our area. And my husband and I, we have him over whenever we can, and we minister to him. And whenever God gives me some testimony or something that fits in with what's being talked about, that's, you know, a verse from the Bible, and I'll just say it. And we pray before our meals and invite him to if he wants.
Sure. And Catherine, I think that's really good. I want to send you some materials. I'll send you God of Wonders, the movie Jesus, a little book called Time to Grow. I'll send those to you, and maybe either you can get him into his hands or invite him over for pizza and watch God of Wonders. Yeah. Hey, it's pretty good. And or give him the DVD and say, take this home and watch it and tell me what you think. You know, tell me objectively what you think about it. Let a lot of times these tools do the ministry, because they will. So stay in line, Catherine, and I'll send those out to you, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Catherine, God bless you. And thank you so much for your concern for your family. And again, how to find out where they're at and then bridge that, be a bridge builder, bridge that gap, I think is so good. Let's go to Sandy, Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
How may we help?
I had to put down my cat of 20 plus years.
Wow.
On Friday, and I live alone, and he just was everything in my lap and all, and the grief is really rolling over me, and you know, it's like, I'm not even going to church tonight because I just can't go out of the house right now.
Dear, what you need is you do need to go to church tonight. You need to be in fellowship. I know you miss your pet. Many people who have pets that die or run away or something, it's very hard. But you need the love of human beings around you. You need that fellowship that comes from God. Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, just real quick, Psalms 34:18 says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so I even know that this is a hard time, Sandy, especially having the cat for that long,
yes. How
connected you were. But during this time, the Lord is close to you, and he'll even use other believers to be your strength while you feel weak. And so I agree with Pastor Mike. Fellowship is key during this time. The enemy wants to bring isolation, and with isolation comes more sadness and depression. It's when we surround ourselves with the right environment that God gives us strength to overcome the pain you're feeling right now, Sandy.
Yeah, you don't want to be down in the basement digging holes, dear. You want to get out of there, and you want to be around fellowship, those that will pray for you. And don't feel embarrassed tonight and say, hey, brothers, sisters, I need prayer. And it's okay to say why you're sad. But you need to be in fellowship, dear, because that's why Jesus gave us the church, why he gave us brothers and sisters to encourage us in the very time of need. Stay in line, dear. We'll take care of you as well. Send you out some books and DVDs. Joe, thanks for being on. Always a
You're
blessing
welcome.
To be with you. Look forward to being back with you. And until then, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. God bless you. Good night.
1-800-357-4226. Or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.